Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development here in Frankfort, Indiana. Shan Sheridan, your host and the director of the Chamber and Economic Development for the county. Glad to be with you once again. And we are always encouraging you to make sure that you tune up the E-factor in your life. Maybe you're the empowerment, maybe the encouragement, maybe the engagement in someone's life. And don't forget that you have that power to be very important in someone else's life. And that is so true, especially this time of the year. We're in the holiday season, and maybe there's those folks out there that you have the opportunity to reach and to touch. The E-factor is all about the E-tributes of a community: engagement, economic development, education, entertainment, empowerment, entrepreneurialism, all those things that really empower a community. So we appreciate you joining us today. Today, I have a very special guest, someone that I work with on a regular basis in our region, Melissa Dexter. And Melissa, your title is basically the Director of Community Engagement for IU Health in the West Region. Is that correct?
Yes, for the West Central Region, I'm the Community Outreach and Engagement. So I work with IU Health Arnett, IU Health Frankfort, and IU Health White Memorial Hospitals on all of our community improvement initiatives.
Okay, so you have those three hospitals that make up one region. I know it gets a little confusing sometimes because there's so many in the IU system. Let's talk a little bit about Melissa first, and then we'll kind of get into the IU. So what got you engaged and got you fired up to be a part of healthcare and a part of IU Hospital?
Well, I started my career actually working with the state health department and working with different programs in public health and seeing the impact we can really have on people's lives. Going into community health improvement, being able to see things that we could work on every day, those little steps, to really make a larger impact on people. And going beyond those individualized programs and really making a community-wide impact, looking at policies, environmental changes, and things that we can do to make the healthy choices a little bit easier for people to make.
So you went from a county health department or state health department.
State health department.
And you were working in Lafayette at the time or down in Indianapolis?
In Indianapolis.
Okay, okay. So how was that transition going from kind of this public umbrella of health and welfare to more of a privatized and, non-for-profit? And we'll talk about that. IU Health is a non-for-profit group.
So in my time at the health department, I worked from a statewide perspective, but then my last position there was actually working with local health departments on their community health assessments and community health improvement plans. So that was actually a great transition for me and a great bridge to go into healthcare, because I started at IU Health in the beginning of 2016, working at a system level, looking at community health improvement plans and ways that we can address priority needs in each community.
So when you're talking a system level, that's statewide for IU Health.
Yes.
And then it is broken down in regions, like we are broken into the West Central region for this kind of Clinton County, White County, Tippecanoe County area.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me, what is one of the most challenging things about what you do on a daily basis? And then we'll talk a little bit, one of the most fun things that you like to do with in your job.
Some of the challenging things for me, especially, is I want to just make everything better. It's really hard for me to say no. There is so much need and so many great initiatives and so many great organizations out there doing really great things for our communities. But for me, being able to focus on specific health priorities in each community help us make a bigger impact. So really, for me, the biggest challenge is saying no and not being able to take on everything at once.
Right. Well, I would add to that too, that the prioritization of all those things, because there is so many things that are needed in, in our communities. And your kind of task with finding and prioritizing those needs. We're in the middle of a needs assessment right now. That's an every 3 year plan, right? Correct?
Yes.
That the state mandates?
Well, it's actually a federal mandate.
Federal mandate, yes.
So, every 3 years we're required to do a community health needs assessment.
Yes.
And that will identify our priority health needs for each community. And from that, you know, we have a community outreach committee for this region, which you're the chair. And so we look at those priorities and we look and say, what role can IU Health play in addressing these needs? Mm-hmm. And in the process of prioritizing those needs, we look at organizations outside of IU Health and what's already being done in the communities.
To partner and collaborate.
And collaborate and maybe even have a different focus. So if we have an organization in the community that is addressing a need and they're doing a great job,
then we
can focus on something else and we can move the needle on that as well.
Right. So when you're starting to look at prioritizing all of these different things, because I know we just went through a meeting where we looked at a variety of different things from a survey and we had to narrow that focus down. Your personality would say, let's do it all, but you can't. So how do you help us in our region find what is the most needed?
We look at evidence-based practices and things that we can do as a hospital system within our hospital walls and also out in our communities, and what's going to make the biggest impact on the largest number of people. Mm-hmm. So when we look at our needs and we say, who is this affecting the most? Who is being impacted the most? Is there a certain population that we can target with our implementation strategies, with our interventions? And so looking at that, if we can identify that target population, we can then look at the research and look at what other communities are doing in response to those needs and to see what could work within our communities.
Right. So when we start thinking about that list, where are we now, Melissa, in our region? I think there have been some things identified.
Yes.
And so let's talk a little bit about those. What are those marks or those identifying pieces that we're going to focus on?
So for the West Central region for IU Health, we are looking at, I think, four really major priority needs. The first one is the undersupply of primary care physicians and mental health professionals. And I think that's just a statewide issue. We need more resources.
Maybe
available.
Even a nationwide.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so that is something that as a hospital system we're looking at, but we're also looking for innovative ways to address those needs and provide more community resources for our residents. And then we're also looking at the increasing number of our 65 and over population. As our population grows older, their health needs change, and so that will also create an impact on the healthcare system what we need to do.
1,000 baby boomers a day are retiring.
Right, right.
So when you start thinking about that, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the healthcare needs of the population, but then also, like you said, the retirement. That leaves a lot of gaps.
Yeah.
And so we need to make sure that we're able to fill those.
Across the board.
Across the board.
I mean, and you think about the doctors that we've seen retire in the last couple of years, the nurses that have retired in the last couple of years, and they take a vast, I mean, this well of knowledge that they take with them, and wisdom and guidance. And of course, it makes it more challenging for the system and, of course, our region to find those people to put in the gap.
Yes. And so I know, you know, IU Health has a plan that we're looking at for recruiting and retaining physicians, but then also looking at peer recovery specialists and peer recovery coaches that aren't medical professionals, but are able to provide that resource for individuals to turn to when they need that help.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that's an interesting dynamic that IU has started actually here in Frankfort, Indiana. This is a kind of a test bed at our hospital for peer recovery folks. So this is a person that has been through like-minded, or not, that's not the right word. Lived experience that they can identify with this crisis or with this addiction or with the situation this person's going through, and kind of talk them off the ledge, so to speak, and get them into a better state of mental health, and to get them, and it's ongoing. It's not just a one-time deal and you're out the door.
Right. And I'm learning more and more about the peer recovery specialists and the peer recovery coaches as I go along. But yes, so in our emergency departments, Our goal is to have a peer recovery coach available in each of our emergency departments across the state.
Wow.
And so we did start here in Frankfort. So I believe back at the end of September, we started with our first peer recovery coach in the emergency department. And right now it's a virtual offering. Mm-hmm. But that person, if they come into our emergency department and they need to utilize those services, the peer recovery coach will follow up with them and stick with them, helping them make appointments and following up and making sure that everything's going okay so that they don't get lost.
Yeah.
Because it's really tough to come in and be facing that type of situation and just say, here are some papers, here are some resources, good luck.
Yeah.
This person will follow them through and help them through the process.
And doesn't statistics prove that that relationship and that guidance is more beneficial than probably anything that we could be doing right now?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There is research being done, and more is coming to light.
Yeah.
It's definitely a promising practice, an evidence-based practice, as we're looking at it. And the peer recovery coaches fit into a lot of different aspects of community initiatives that we could be doing.
And so if somebody is out there that may have been an addict, maybe that has dealt with life issues, that have gone through a program, have gotten themselves in a better state of affairs in their life, and they want to help and they want to be an assistance, there's a program that those folks can go through for sure, training through IU Health and through partnership with IU Health, correct?
So it's not through IU Health, and I can't think of the exact name of the organization.
I'm trying to remember it myself, but
IACID?
Yeah, something to that. Yeah, you're right.
IAACAD, I can't tell you what
this
it
is.
Means.
Also new that we're trying to figure it out.
I said, I'm learning more and more every day. There are Indiana organizations that provide coaching and the certification. So a person who is in long-term recovery that wants to give back can definitely look into getting that training done and then also being certified and becoming a certified peer recovery coach.
Wow. And I'm just telling you, that excites me, being also in the ministry. It's such an important, I think, piece of the all-around recovery of a person, is that they have that relational interaction, that it's not just another drug to try to get you off another drug, or it's not just a support group that you're going to go to, even though those are important. I totally believe in all those things. But it's really that one-to-one interaction with someone that's going to say, hey, I've been there. I know. Right. And the great thing about this peer-to-peer, Melissa, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is also extremely, this is not just generic. It's very specific to the addiction. I mean, if it's alcoholism, then we're more than likely going to get an alcoholic on the line or a recovering alcoholic on the line. If it's an opioid or if it's some type of a drug addiction, we're going to get those people that have been involved in that. So they know exactly what that person's going through.
Yes. From my understanding, that is the goal, is to be able to really make that personal connection and, you know, that personal understanding of the situation.
Yeah. Wow.
And with you mentioning being a pastor, it's not just someone with a lived experience that can, you know, really help and give back. There are other types of trainings that we're going to be offering in the communities. I know just last week, I believe, here in Frankfort, we partnered, the Learning Network and Mental Health America provided a QPR training. And that is just almost like CPR, but for mental health and identifying issues that could be coming up. So how you respond to that. So question, persuade, respond.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask you for that.
Yeah.
For the
so we offer that. We offer that training, and we'll be doing that a little bit more in the next year or so. There's also mental health first aid.
Yeah.
And these are all just ways that regular people, you and I, people who have family members, friends who are dealing with mental health issues or addiction issues, how we can help them.
And mental health issue, and I want to make sure we clarify this. Mental health is it's across the board. It's really about mental health wellness.
Yes.
Because all of us deal with, at some capacity, stress can sometimes take over.
Yes.
You lose your temper, whether it be depression, whether it be
anxiety,
suicidal thoughts. There's a variety of things that happen in one's psyche when they're dealing with life. And
yes.
and I think you would agree, and I think IU Health has been a great partner that I have seen working with other partners like Healthy Communities of Clinton County to recognize that that there's so many facets of mental health and mental wellness. So how do we build a better you and a better me? How do we better mentally and emotionally? How can we be more stable for our kids? And how do we make a better more stable child in the school systems? And I go back to a lot of our discussions that we've had around the table at IU Health, and it really is about relationship, and it's about bringing those people together to talk more about this. You know, we've been part of a regional campaign on WLFI and trying to make people more aware. I think IU Health has been a big supporter of that, and then this initiative, and then now the peer counseling that has been that's being engaged in at the Frankfurt Hospital. It seems like, you know, we're doing this, but we're just scratching the surface because there's such a need.
There is such a need. And some of the things that you just said, like, we could talk about all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Having that engagement piece, that connection to your community. So looking at social media and the connect and disconnect that can cause. Looking at the resiliency is kind of the best word that I can think of. Is how do we make our youth more resilient? How do we make ourselves more resilient?
And we're partnering with our friends at North Central Health.
North Central Health Services has a great grant opportunity that just closed up, I believe, last week. But they received a great response from that for the youth. And so there are great things happening. But like you said, we're just scratching the surface. And it's something that we're going to need to continue to focus on and really delve into on a community level to help people out.
Absolutely. And that's just one aspect of the need assessment. We've got other things you've mentioned, healthcare providers, mental health providers, dealing with the aging population. And, of course, the real robust, I think, action plan on mental health. And that again, is about not just mental health, dealing with someone that's in the throes of a crisis, but it's about the mental health wellness. How do we recognize? And I love what you were talking about, having those folks that can recognize these things. And maybe you have someone in your life. You know, we have unfortunately have gone through several suicides in our community in the last year, maybe the last 18 months. And most of these folks, you would have never thought that would never have occurred to you that they would be in that mindset because they're living out their life, but something triggered and something's going on. So what are the walking time bombs that are out there that are struggling and internalizing so many things that we need to be able to recognize those. And we need ourselves to be able to recognize, hey, I'm getting, and here's how I like to use the analogy of being out in the water. In the ocean. You know, we go to the beach, we take our grandkids out on the beach. And a few years ago, we were down in Florida, and our grandkids, we were out there diving for those sand dollars. And so we were all out there, and we'd gotten on this little bank out in the middle of, what do they call them, a little little area out there in the middle where you go through some deep water to get there, but we got there, and I can't remember the name.
Sandbar.
That's what I'm thinking. Thank you, Melissa. Ding, ding, ding. But so we're out there on the sandbar. And so we'd been out there for a couple of hours, and we've been just having a lot of fun, and you're coming back. Well, the tide starts to roll, and it starts to get a little, so we're getting the kids, they're all on rafts and all. So I had given everybody the flotation devices and things, and so I'm making my way back, and, you know, it gets to the point, I'm just wore out. And I'm realizing, you know, I think I'm a little over my head, literally, with the water, but a little over my head with my strength and stamina and air. And so if it hadn't been for my son-in-law, who was thanks Bobby, appreciate you saving my life, but if it hadn't been for my son-in-law who recognized I think he's struggling, came and giving me a hand, and literally just needing somebody to pull me about 5 feet.
Yeah.
That's all I needed. But that 5 feet was enough to get me help.
Right.
That to me is the analogy of mental wellness, mental health, and helping other people. What is signs that you see that maybe, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee and talk. Let's, you know, just unload. Mm-hmm. What's going on in your life? Those are important things. We're so connected to social media, though. We kind of vent everything on social media, mm-hmm. but there's no eye-to-eye contact. There is no talk voice-to-voice. It's right. just this. We can kind of type whatever we want to say, and then, boy, I hope you can live with it. But I think this thing's really got legs that IU Health is working on and collaborating with other partners that we can help people come to that conclusion mm-hmm. and that realization.
Well, and that's one thing. We actually are working on a project that is definitely aligned with our needs assessment that started just in October. We just got awarded the funding. So we're working with Healthy Communities of Clinton mm-hmm. County, the Learning Network, and the Open Door Clinic
right.
on a project to identify some of those early signs. And so we'll be asking people that come in or that we see at events yep. To take a questionnaire, and it's only 9 questions. And from that, you'll get a score, and those are things that we can use to connect you to services that you could need. So, you know, we can kind of see where you're at. If you just need to go to a community session to talk with someone, you know, it's not always just going in and talking to a counselor and, right. and bearing your soul in the first visit. That's right. not what it's about.
Right.
And so really using those community resources and making the community ready and increasing our capacity to respond to the needs of the community.
Absolutely.
So that's just getting started. I'm really excited about the partnerships that we have in Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. You guys are amazing. And so like, I'm, you know, getting this started and going through here, having the lead organizations in Frankfurt working on this regional project, I think is going to be really great.
Yeah, we're very excited. 2019 is right around the corner.
I
so what do you see for the future of community engagement and, you know, community development through IU Health? I mean, I know that we've got the needs assessment, but we know then we have to implement the strategy. We got to create the strategy, implement the strategy. But what do you see in 2019, some things that people can look forward to with IU Health?
You know, I think that we're really, for me anyways, in my position, focusing on those community collaborations, looking at strengthening our partnerships in the community. Like I said, Frankfurt and Clinton County has a very active coalition, and Healthy Communities has really set the bar, I think, in this region for community health improvement. Mm. They do so much for this county and really the area, because some of their work is now reaching into Tippecanoe County and White County and some of the surrounding counties of the area. So really just strengthening those partnerships, increasing the number of collaborations that we have so that we can really focus on these priority health needs that were identified in our assessment, so that here in 3 years, when we do our next assessment, we can actually see an improvement.
Yeah.
And we can look back and say, you know what, that program worked.
And maybe we check some things off and move on to something else.
Yeah, well,
it would be great. It would be great. Well, speaking of that, segueing into that, you know, you've been in the state level health with the health department, you've been now with the system of IU Health. Now you're focused more into this region. If Melissa had the magic wand or the genie in the bottle, what would be some things that you would like to see happen in healthcare and in particularly our region? What and again, going back from your state days of seeing how things are, and to me, there's a lot of broken links. I think about, you know, you talk about trying to bring people together, but there's a lot of broken links. You go on the website and you go, oh, the link is broken. Oh, link is broken. I see that sometimes in our healthcare system, nation, worldwide.
Right.
But what would you do? I mean, if you were the czar just for a few minutes, how would you help healthcare in Indiana?
Oh, wow. That's a huge undertaking, Shan.
Yeah,
you know, there are so many things that I think could make a large impact.
Yeah.
Looking at just getting people access to the healthcare that they need, providing transportation.
Hmm.
We, you know, we have the hospitals in Frankfurt and in Monticello who have wonderful staff, wonderful physicians. But sometimes you may need to go to Lafayette for an appointment for a machine, you know, to get a scan or something that we don't have at the other communities. Some people don't have a vehicle. to get to Lafayette. They're not able to take off work to go to that appointment. So having some kind of transportation system available to provide rides, you know, being able to get enough physicians, you know, that priority need that we identified is looking at the undersupply of primary care and mental health professionals, and being able to get them on staff and keep them on staff.
Right.
Because I think that some people, when you're, you know, when you get to the point that you want to go for help, and then you're told that you have to wait 4 to 6 weeks to see someone, that can just be so disheartening.
My wife's going through it right now.
And I've had friends that say, you know, like, my kid needs this appointment. Like, what, you know, and like, to go through the system and then be told, like, to finally get in and then say, well, it's 4 to 6 weeks from now.
Right.
What am I supposed to do?
Right.
And I've heard my friends say that, like, what am I supposed to do until then?
Yeah.
And so to, you know, get rid of that time.
Right. But we need more people.
We need more people. We need more space.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many things that need done, and it's just really, for me, you know, in my position in the community outreach, is looking and seeing what we can provide outside the walls of the hospital that complement what's going on inside the walls.
Well, Melissa, you have done a fantastic job. I'll just tell you right now, you've done a great job. We're proud of you and what you're doing in IU Health, especially in our region. You know, you definitely have a passion, you desire. You can tell that when we talk. It comes out in your voice. You've seen it from a state level, both on the public side of public health. You've seen it on the state level and the system side of IU systems, and now on this regional side. Not much changes. People are people, and people still need things. And I think to come back to your point, it's going to take time, effort, energy. It's going to take one bite at a time. You know, it's not going to be done overnight. It's not going to be taken care of. You can't wave a magic wand, but, you know, at least there's vision, at least there's desire, and there's goals that are being set. And that's what I appreciate about IU Health, is that you take the time for these assessments, which I know all health systems do, but IU really takes this seriously. They really want to make an impact and a difference in the community, and we greatly appreciate what you do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, no problem. Melissa Dexter has been our guest today on the E Factor, and she is the Director of Engagement and Outreach, Community Outreach for IU Health in the West Central region here, and that includes White County, Tippecanoe County, and Clinton County, and really those ancillary counties kind of, they all, Carroll and Montgomery, they kind of all, Benton, Tipton, they kind of all, even Tipton's in a different region, but there's Tipton people that come to, you know, over in this area. So we're kind of a big family. Really, when it comes to healthcare, there's a lot of, we're a big family. But anyway, I've been talking to Melissa Dexter with IU Health. And I just want to remind you, if you have a health need, if you have an issue that you're struggling with, and whether it be mental health or physical health, you know, don't give up. There are people that do care about you. There are people that want to see you helped, and I've been able to see this happening in an IU Health folks over the last year or so. And look, all of our hospitals are working diligently. All of our medical professionals are working diligently to help and make you better. But, you know, you've got to take that step, and you also have to be patient. And I think if we can work together, we can make not only make you a lot better and myself a lot better as physically and mentally and emotionally, but also our community collectively a lot better. So I guess I encourage you today to hang in there, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with. You may be in deep water right now. You may be in a tough situation, but there's somebody just 4 or 5 feet away from you, maybe just as close as the person next to you in the car, or maybe next to you there in the kitchen. It may be your spouse, your significant other, whatever the case may be. They care about you and love you, and there are people that do care and love you. Don't ever give up. Keep hanging in there, because it's going to get better. I promise you. We tell teenagers this all the time. Don't compare your best days of life to your teenage years, because you don't want to go on. Teenagers are the tough years. Those are the toughest years of your life. Hang in there, teenager. It's going to get better. I promise you. So, but we can get better together. So make sure this holiday season, especially, that you are the encouragement. You are the engagement factor. Maybe you're the empowerment in someone else's life. You know what? You might be be the hope, or maybe you're the answered prayer to someone's life. Don't forget about what you could do to help someone else. And we certainly hope and wish and pray for our blessed Christmas season as we work this thing together. All right. For E-Factor, I'm Shan Sheridan. We wish you a very Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you before. Until then, have a great